Well, good morning, La Trobe Alliance Church family. Today is Sunday, March 29th, and it's the second Sunday now that we've been unable to meet together in person to worship and fellowship and enjoy the preaching of God's Word. And yet, God is so good, and we are so blessed to live during a time when, even though we can't be together in person, we can be together through technology and social media, and I am really thankful for this. I'm joined again this morning by your other elders, Brett and David, and we'd like to just continue on with what we started last Sunday, a conversation where each of us has an opportunity to share with you all what the Lord is teaching us and how we see God at work in powerful ways, despite the shelter-at-home order that was recently decreed for our county. You know, God is still at work, and we're hearing some marvelous reports back from some of you about opportunities that He's providing to talk with others about Jesus, to share the hope that we have in Him, as well as doors for ministry that the Lord is opening because of the current situation. And so we want to take some time this morning to share about some of these answers to prayer that we're hearing of. But first, let's commit our time this morning to the Lord in prayer. Brett, would you lead us?
Lord, we enter into your presence. We thank you that we are the body of Christ. We thank you that you are in the hearts of everyone that is a believer that hears this. And we thank you for our church family, that we love you and we can worship together, even though that we're not in close proximity to each other. And Lord, we just thank you so much that you're in our lives. And right now we think of Paul, who said that he could proclaim the message clearly, as he should, even though he's an ambassador in chains. He was in prison, stuck in one location, and he's talking about proclaiming the message clearly. Lord, we want to do that in our lives. We ask you to help show us opportunities that we could proclaim your message, not just physically as gifts or actions. And Lord, we also pray for opportunities that we could share with people that we come in contact with, that you have a plan here, that we're part of that plan, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Lord. And we praise you for that. And Lord, I pray that we would be devoted to encouraging each other, that we would be devoted to loving each other, that we would be devoted to incorporating others into the body of Christ to become believers, Lord. And Lord, we pray that through this time that our church would grow deeper in love with you, deeper in love with others in our congregation, Lord, and also that we would just be passionate followers who want to bring you joy in all that we say and do. Amen.
So Brett and David, how are you guys personally processing and responding to everything that's happened in these last couple of weeks?
Well, good morning, everybody. We've had the opportunity to, it's just really neat hearing back from so many people last week about just being encouraged and just the appreciation of it. Even just seeing some pictures of families around a couch or around living rooms as they as we kind of meet together during that time. It's been just really refreshing. It's been really encouraging to hear from so many other people about this and just about how we're working together during this time. It's everybody that I've been talking to check on, it's been amazing to hear they're checking on other people, and there some people were even calling to check on me, and it's just it's just so funny to, you know, we should never underestimate the love of Jesus Christ and other people, and it's been just really encouraging to be a part of that. We talked about it last week, how this is really where our faith gets real, and we can talk about our faith in Jesus Christ and our hope in Jesus Christ to other people in good times, but it really gets real and people start to watch us during these times. And it was something last week. I know we had a situation where the West Bend Power did a test on our lines. This just happened last week when it was like the first day that I was working from home, and it got really quiet. This was the middle of the afternoon, but all these things that we've been praying about, I've been talking to the Lord a lot about just Lord, you work your purposes out. You show your love to other people. And when that power went off and the lights went out, it was just kind of a real sobering moment, just for a second to say, I was just kind of waiting for that trumpet to sound. It was really something, but it was just for a short period of time. But it was something that makes we understand we have our faith in Jesus Christ, and we have our hope in Jesus Christ, and we have our hope in eternity. It doesn't mean that there aren't times that we're afraid. It doesn't mean that there aren't times that we're uncomfortable with something. And I hope we don't ever feel that we need to get that across to other people, that we're never concerned about anything. You know, there's a lot of concerns out there, but to have that eternal perspective that we talked a lot about last week, it just means the world. And it's a different mindset than the world has right now. It's just a different feeling that the people around us have. So it has been so encouraging to be with our church family, whether it be in face-to-face contact or over the phone or just through texts or pictures or emails. It's just been wonderful to be with everybody. So.
That little word, hope, H-O-P-E, little four-letter word, makes all the difference. And that's actually what we're going to be focusing on this morning. During our time in the Word, as we look at what God's Word has to say. Brett, how about you? What's happening as you process and respond to what's going on?
It's been quite surreal to me. I'm still going around thinking, is this actually happening? I can't believe we're in a what they call a pandemic situation. And now to hear that we're supposed to be stay at home, only go out for essential trips it's amazing to me, and the whole I'm still trying to grasp what has actually occurred in this nation, that the whole entire nation has shut down, and it's unfathomable, and I'm still comprehending it. But to try to wrap my head around it, one day I was at the Philadelphia Flower Show, 270,000 people attending it. We were taking orders and selling our names, and then the last 2 days we started seeing the crowds dissipate, people start to wear masks during the last 2 days of the show. Then on the drive home from Philadelphia to Latrobe, in that brief time, we heard that all of our art shows for the next 2 months have been canceled. Upon getting home at Latrobe, I realized that I no longer have a business, at least for the foreseeable future. And amazingly, God took care of us in the days that we had at the show to match what the previous year was. And God is unbelievable in that way. We should believe it, but we still are amazed by what he does. And despite all this, I'm trying to be, you know, a good witness for my family and for the people around me that don't know Christ. You know, I'm clinging to his word. You know, I'm trying to be joyful always, giving thanks in all circumstances, as the Bible commands us, and not to be fearful or anxious, or anxious for nothing. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, "For the Spirit of God gave us The Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." And then in Philippians 4:4-8, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." So often when I'm alone, I keep thinking, is this really happening? But I've made a choice that regardless of what's happened with my business, regardless of what's happening, you know, to the students and to their, you know, being at school and all of this, that God is bigger than this. And not what I mean by that is God has a plan through all of this situation, and he has commanded us as believers to respond in the midst of circumstances that are not ideal, to respond in a way that brings him glory. And so that is what I'm trying to do through the power of the Holy Spirit, is living out these verses, not being, oh, woe is me, I've lost my business, or I can't go do this, or I can't go do that, but thinking, tuning in with my mind to say, okay, God, what's next? And that's how I'm responding to what's going on.
I think that one of the things that we've all realized over these last few weeks is that we just don't know what the future is. So often when things are going well, we make our plans and we just assume that everything's going to be the same tomorrow as it was today and life will go on. And I think it's been a good reminder for all of us that that's not the case. The Lord certainly knows what the future is, but we don't. And we don't know. We don't know how long this stay-at-home order is going to be going on.
Yeah, one thing in my workplace, on the way back from Philadelphia, I said to my mom, I said, we need to get our pictures out right now that we sold before we're shut down. And remarkably, we were able to accomplish that before we were shut down. So just a praise to God for that as well.
So in every aspect of our life, really, we make our plans, right? The scripture says that. We make our plans, but the Lord is the one who directs our paths and directs our course. And so we're living in a lot of uncertainty right now. And for some people, I think that's got them pretty worried. It's a very uncomfortable place to be when you don't know exactly what tomorrow is going to hold, or at least you don't know what you think it's going to hold. So we don't know. We don't know, you know, when is the church going to be able to start meeting again? When are we going to all be able to gather together in people's homes again? We don't know who's going to get sick among us. We don't know how long the financial impact of all of this is going to take out. We don't know what the consequences of all of this are going to be in months or weeks or years.
But I always think about this as you know, being in Boy Scouts, being an Eagle Scout, I went on a ton of hikes and a ton of camping trips, and some in really kind of deep woods and places that I wasn't familiar with. And it was amazing the difference in when you had this idea, you really didn't know where you were going, the difference between that and when you had a lot of faith in your guide. You knew that that person, he or she, knew exactly where he was going, knew exactly where he was, knew what was ahead, knew dangers and knew things to look out for, and just ways to go and how to keep us safe. It just made such a difference. And I think that's so similar to where we are right now. The world around us, there's just, you see so much chaos and you see so much confusion, and that just leads to panic. But when you know your guide, and when you know the person who you're looking to for guidance and for leadership and for comfort and for safety, when you know that he's got this, it really allows us to be much more at peace. And I think we need to, it's amazing to see Christians live that. And I think we need to just never forget that.
Yeah, that's so well said, David. And, you know, that is one thing we do know without any shadow of doubt. We know who's in control. We know God knows the future. We know he's carrying each one of us along. Our God is sovereign. We talked about that a little bit last week, which means that he's in control. He's in charge. And I just want to remind everybody this morning about God's promise in Jeremiah 29:11. It's a promise that I learned many, many years ago that has meant a lot to me at different times of my life. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, when God said those words, this is what's really kind of amazing about this promise. Think about who he was speaking to. He was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to the people of Judah who were now in exile in Babylon. They had witnessed the destruction of their homes, of their livelihood. They had witnessed the slaughter of their family members and their neighbors and their friends, all of their fellow Jews. They had been rounded up and taken off as prisoners into captivity in a foreign land, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from their own land. And I think probably at that point, any one of them would have gladly traded places with us today. And yet, in the midst of this calamity, the Lord gives them this message of hope through Jeremiah. And it was that message exactly that we just talked about. The message is, I'm in charge. These are my plans. This wasn't an accident. This wasn't just pure fate or circumstances. This wasn't the power and aggression of a foreign governor or army leading this on. You remember back to our study of Nahum and Habakkuk? It was God's sovereign will to chastise his people for their disobedience, but it was also God's sovereign will to use this national calamity to bless his covenant people. And thus he could say through Jeremiah, my plans are for your welfare. They're not for evil. They're for a hope and a future for my people. And so in the midst of these unimaginable trials and tragedies and loss, the loss of everything for these people, God says, I have a blessing waiting for you. And I am going to pour out hope. And I've got a future that is great that's planned for you.
My daughter Chloe has a sign on her wall, and it says, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's kind of the situation that we're finding ourselves in, and something that we need to trust in. And the word hope that we talked about earlier, there is hope because we know who holds the future.
And one of the reasons that we commit God's word to memory, like this verse in Jeremiah 20:11, is because of the hope that it provides us, right? It's the reminder that God is in charge. How about you guys? In these last few days, are there any of God's promises that he has brought to your mind that you've just been clinging to right now?
Well, we've talked about a couple already, but one of the ones that I've really been looking through, just even in our daily studies with the boys and together, Colossians 1:17, just that's talking about the supremacy of Jesus, the supremacy of the Son of God. But the Bible tells us in that passage that he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I mean, that just says it all. Like, what could we be worried about? He was before all things. We talk about, and I mentioned this even last week, how it's hard to fathom sometimes a God that will always be. Sometimes it's harder to fathom a God that always was. And in this passage, again, we learn that he is before all things, all this stuff. And the creation, when he spoke creation into existence, he knew about things like the Civil War. He knew about Caesar's wars. You know, he knew about all the Roman wars that went on, the battles, world wars that we had. He knew about 9/11 happening. He knows about what's going on with this. And he also knows about the outcome of this. In a couple weeks, in a couple months, when things, you know, resolve, he knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows where this church is going to be. He knows where my family is going to be. He knows where I'm going to be. And in him, all things hold together. I just think that's so encouraging for us. Another one that I really hold to, it's a longer passage, but it's in Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, and I think, Brett, I think you even talked about this last week, but go ahead.
No, I did, and I was going to share it this week too. Yeah. So it's good.
We're going to keep going after each other's stuff here, but yeah, Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. And remember, it's all created. It's all created by God. This is all under the sovereignty of God. Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That just says it all to me.
And ironically, that's part of what I wanted to share. But I think it's important to know who holds the future. And a passage that I wrote down was Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know what God's purpose is in our lives, is for us to love him and bring him glory. And but also he's given us commands as a purpose as a believer to walk with him daily, to build up the body, and also to make disciples of all nations. And that's his purpose for us as a church. And so we as a church have to fit into his idea of what has to happen right now. But that's something that I'm clinging to as a verse. And that, ironically, that is right before the passage that Dave shared. In verse 31, it says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And know in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we are victorious. We're not just people. We are conquerors because of what he has done. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ. So if we get sick and we die, to die is gain, to live is Christ. It's just remarkable the peace and the hope and that we can experience as a Christian going through this situation. And you know me, this is something that's dear to my heart. In Colossians 4, it says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So when you're at the checkout counter, there's people right around you to talk to. When you're getting food delivered to your house and you have to meet them at the door, there's a person you can talk to. So I would encourage you that before you enter Walmart or other grocery stores, say, God, help me make the most of this opportunity. Help me talk to people around about you. The people are terrified. I mean, I have never seen people so fearful of something so small and insignificant as a virus. And I know the death rate is, 1.4 out of 100 who get it die, but the amount of people that are dying is in proportion to the total number of people is so low, but people are terrified of what's going on. And we as believers need not to be terrified. We as believers need to be bold in what we're doing. So those are verses that I'm clinging to right now that God has really made clear in my life. And I just, that one thing that we're more than conquerors is pretty remarkable.
It's amazing that in the midst of trials and in the midst of calamity even, God is still pouring out his blessings on his people. And when we talk about God's blessings, there are so many different kinds of ways that God blesses his people. One of the things, and I just got to tell you, I've been tremendously blessed and encouraged just this past week to see how our church family has been responding in faith and in love to the current situation. And I'd like to take just a few minutes this morning to share some of the things that I'm aware of and to give you guys an opportunity to share as well. And I'm sure there are many more that we haven't even heard about that are going on. I've got to tell you, first of all, we are tremendously blessed by the women of this church. We've got so many godly women in this church. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen this little army of like Ruth women, like blessing Naomi, raise up and do a marvelous job of caring, not only for people in our church, but for those outside of our church as well. I heard just a few days ago that my wife Lynn and Sarah Grumbine had taken some meals over to one of Sarah's elderly neighbors this past week. And Lynn said this neighbor was literally in tears. I think she's like 93 or something. And she said, this is amazing. I've never had anybody do this for me before. And it just brought her to tears. Now, she's not a believer, and Sarah has been caring for this woman for a long, long time. But now she gets to see the extended body of Christ caring for her as well. We also had a group of ladies go over to one of our shut-ins for a couple days this week to clean and to help her pay bills. We've had other groups of ladies helping our sister Helen as she had to clean out her brother Larry's apartment this week. We found out Larry had died unexpectedly on Monday. And not only is it a ministry to Helen to be able to do this, but even beyond this, there have been so many people who have stopped by Larry's apartment when Helen was down there and the ladies were working and cleaning. And every time somebody comes by to express their condolences, Helen says, I want you to know this is my church family here, and I want you to know what they're doing. And so it's been a marvelous opportunity for Helen to share with everybody in that building Christ's love and the way our church family is responding to this. And of course, it's not just caring for people in the name of Jesus. It's, what you've talked about, Brett, the proclamation of the gospel as well. And God is opening up doors that who would have guessed would have opened during this time. Just for me personally, in the past week, I've had the opportunity to have three in-depth gospel conversations with three different guys, all at different places in their spiritual journeys. And I got to talk to each one of them like for half an hour or 45 minutes about Jesus. In fact, one of the guys I was meeting with this week has been very open that he's an agnostic, and he's very open. He'll say, "I just don't know that I really believe. I don't know what I think about all of this." And so we were reading through a portion of John chapter 3 this week, and we came to verses 17 and 18. And these verses say, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." And I asked my friend after we read that, I said, "What do you think this means?" And it was amazing to me right away, without even having to think about it. He said, "Well, if this is true, then I'm condemned. I'm toast," right? And I thought, praise God, because he's getting that truth. Now, he's not open to the answer in the previous verse, which is faith in Jesus. But he's at least getting it, that in God's eyes, he's condemned and he needs a Savior. I'm also hearing, and David, I'm going to get to you in just a sec. One other thing, hearing about some other creative ways people are reaching out with the gospel. And Jack and Bonnie, I just want to point out how they've been using social media to reach out. And some of you have probably seen these little mini messages now that Jack has been recording of just hope and encouragement, just a few minutes. He's doing this, I think, about every other day, about three times a week. And then Bonnie posts it on her Facebook page. Just another example of how people in our church family are finding ways in the midst of being confined to their house to share hope and encouragement in the name of Jesus. What are you guys hearing? What have you guys been hearing as you listen to what's going on?
Well, two things that hit me even as you were talking about that. You know, we've been thinking about this and going through some of our notes and thoughts about this, but it is awesome to see the involved, the planned, the intricate network that's going on around us that I think most people aren't seeing through here. But it is really awesome to see people just so focused on the needs and meeting the needs of other people. And Kurt, I got a chance to see some of the conversations that opened up just for me that wouldn't normally even be open or have that possibility. It's been really cool to see that old term, that old phrase, "There are no atheists in foxholes." For a lot of people, they're in foxholes right now. A lot of people, this world is a foxhole right now where there's just bombs bursting around us and the end is so uncertain and all that. But it is so awesome to see when they're faced with that eternity, faced with that uncertainty of I don't know what's going on around me, or I don't know what's going on or about to go on, that the questions open up and the hearts kind of break a little bit just to say, okay, I'm missing something. Why are these other people around me not frantic right now? And why am I frantic? And how do I get out of that? So that was just kind of the first thing that I thought about. I have some other thoughts about it, but yeah, just to answer that quickly, that's what I was thinking about.
Something that Lisa pointed out to me is that the stay-at-home order doesn't apply to certain things, and taking care of the elderly is not something that is to be restricted. And so we have seen our, the deaconesses and the women are in our church, really step up and minister to other women in the church and that don't go to our church as well. So if you want to get involved with that, just contact one of the deaconesses, and I'm sure that they would you could either provide food or money to do it or get involved physically to do it. But I'm sure if God puts it on your heart to do, it would be something that I would encourage you to do as well.
Yeah, I wanted to share one other story, but I wanted to wait till you went, Brett, because I wasn't sure. I thought you might share it, and that's about Lisa. Do you want
to? You can share.
Okay. So Lisa was over at the house with Lynn the other day. They had gone out for a walk, and she was just telling us that over at the hospital, like, there's this climate of fear over there. Like people are just really afraid, staff, nurses, even people like the janitorial staff. And she said it's kind of at the point now, like after a patient has been in a room, the janitorial staff don't even want to go in and clean the room afterward. And so she was having a conversation with somebody who works over there, a coworker, a friend. And this friend asked Lisa, she said, "Well, aren't you afraid?" And Lisa had the opportunity to say, "No, I'm not afraid." But the thing that really stood out to me is what she said after that. She said, "What's the worst thing that could happen to me? I could die?" And she says, "I'm not afraid of death because I'm in Christ and I know what my future holds and where I'm going." I thought, wow, what a powerful testimony.
Yeah, and regarding that, Lisa contacted me and texted me and said, "You know, I'm talking to people and they're terrified, they're fearful, and could you text me some verses on fear?" And the first one I texted over was, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose." And she said, "Well, that text is for a believer." And so I texted over another one, and she said, "Well, that one's for a believer too." And I said, "Well, that's the point, Lisa." I said that these promises are for believers. So if you share this to your coworkers and say this is a promise is available to you as a believer. And so she actually was using some of these verses, and then she took verses off the internet and printed them out, is going to hand them out and give them to other, you know, Christian and non-Christian people at the hospital that are, you know, terrified. And I understand people being afraid of it. I mean, it is an unknown thing, but it's just something we as believers, you know, don't need to fear as well. I've also had a couple opportunities to share, you know, parts of the gospel with different people. At Train Club, we've been talking about, you know, people, some of the guys aren't coming and they're a little concerned, and a couple other people have been coming, and we're talking about why we don't have to worry about being afraid, as if as believers we know where we're going, and if we trust in Christ, you know, as your Savior, then death is not something that you have to fear. So we've had some conversations, you know, about that as well, which is kind of exciting. And, you know, just in the checkout line or with the people that check out, I've had some opportunities to share some stuff too. And I also talked to my uncle on the phone. And I've been sharing the gospel with him for many years, and I'm not sure that he gets it. But in this phone call, I think it was yesterday, he just talked forever just about how now he knows that no matter what happens to him, you know, because of his faith in Christ, that he's going to heaven. And just to hear him affirm that, you know, I just wasn't sure. He said he believed in it, but I never really knew for sure. But he said, you know, if God wants to take me home, I am ready, and I know where I'm going. And so, praise God. Yeah, I've been talking to him for 10 years about all this, and just to see God move is amazing. And so God is using this situation to transform our lives, to, you know, perseverance produces character, and that's what God is doing in his church. I went out yesterday and looked at my mom's door, and there was toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and other items dropped off at my mom's door. I mean, this is what God is doing in our church, the Fellowship of Believers in Acts 2, 42-47, you know, just how we're working as a church who loves each other, who wants to be together, and if we can't be together physically, we want to help each other in other ways as well. And God is working mightily, and I just praise him to see all this.
I think one of the things that we forget sometimes is that ministering to others is a gift from God. I mean, it's probably the best therapy in times when you're not sure or when you're uncertain about one thing or another, or just even little things around. It's just such a therapeutic model. It's just such a therapeutic thing for us to be able to minister to others and meet the needs of others. It's so calming. It's just so, it allows us to focus. As somebody with ADD, I just, you know, my mind tends to wander at times, even at night, and it'll be at different places. But when you can focus on the needs of other people and focus, take the focus off what I need and how I can help other people, it just is so therapeutic. So I think we as Christians need to understand that that is truly a gift from God.
As is this idea that we've been talking about this morning, this idea of hope, and you brought that up, Brett, just the fact that we have a source of hope that nobody else in the world who's outside of Christ has. And so we can, you know, those promises you were talking about of God working for our good. And yeah, you're right. Those aren't for non-believers. Those are for believers. That's our source of hope, right? Titus 2:13 says, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to just think with you all for a couple minutes about what that means. According to this verse, what is our hope? Well, it's not man, that's for sure. We're not putting our hope in our government. God save us there. And, you know, we're not putting our hope in medicine. We're not putting our hope in the medical system, even though we're thankful for it. We're not putting our hope that a vaccine will be developed or that social distancing will work or in any of these other measures. We're not putting our hope in the stock market. We're not putting our hope in our retirement savings or even in our monthly paycheck. Our hope is in Jesus and the certain promise that He is going to come back to take us home to glory. And you see, this isn't just a blind hope. It's just not some kind of irrational, oh, I hope type thing. No, it's a certain fact. Well, how do we know this? We know this because Jesus promised it. He said that He would come back. So if you've got a Bible out, I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. I just want to spend a few minutes looking at this promise this morning. John chapter 14, verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. That's a great place to start. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, this statement is made in the context of Jesus' revelation to Peter that he would deny his Lord three times. But I think this is a promise for us as well, a statement for us. Let not your hearts be troubled, La Trobe Alliance Church. And then he goes on to say, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Or as Jesus is saying, would I lie to you? Have you ever known me to tell you something that wasn't true or to make a promise that I couldn't fulfill? And then in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. Now, did you catch that? Jesus said, I've got to leave. I'm leaving this world, but I'm going to prepare a place for you somewhere else. I've been reading a book this last week about the Great Depression back in the 1930s. And in this book, the main character is a farmer in Arkansas, and he's got a wife and a number of children. And after about 2 years of drought, his cotton crop is completely destroyed, and his family is on the verge of starvation. And so he makes the incredibly hard decision to leave his wife and his children and to go to California because he's heard there's work out there in the oil fields. And his family doesn't want him to go, but he assures them that it is necessary for him to leave them for a time in order to prepare a new home for them in California, a better home and a better life. And that's what Jesus told his disciples. I've got to leave for a time to go prepare a place for you and all of my subsequent disciples. I've got to go and prepare you a new home, a better home. And Thomas, Doubting Thomas, as we call him, in verse 5 says, well, Jesus, if you're going to leave and if you're going to prepare us a home somewhere else, well, how are we going to know where you're going? How are we going to know how to find the way there? That's a fair question, isn't it? Jesus, are you going to send a letter and tell us where you're at? Are you going to send a courier with instructions or maybe a guide to lead us to you? And Jesus says, no. He says, I will come again and I will take you there myself. When it's time for you to join me in your new home, I'm going to come personally for you. I'm not going to send a guide. I'm not going to mail you a train ticket. I'm going to come personally and lead and carry you and take you off to your new home to be with me forever. Now, here's the thing. Jesus isn't talking about heaven here. He's not. Read carefully. He's talking about our eternal home. He's talking about the new heaven and earth that he's going to create at the end of this age after Satan and sin and death are destroyed once and for all. Would you guys turn to one other passage? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 for a moment. In verse 50, Paul writes, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." See, what Paul's saying here is that you and I cannot enter into the eternal kingdom of God clothed in this mortal flesh that we currently inhabit. God won't allow it. We're not properly attired. Think of it like this, as maybe think of it as an exclusive country club, where if you don't show up at the door wearing a tuxedo or some other kind of formal attire, you don't get in, period. And it doesn't matter who you are. You might be the president of the United States, but if you're not wearing proper attire, you're not coming into that club. You see, Paul says in the same way, no one enters into God's eternal kingdom if they're not attired properly. But he's not talking about clothes. He's made an argument through the early verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that our current flesh, these mortal bodies of ours, are going to be changed. They're going to be transformed into something entirely new. Why? Well, because they're corrupt. The bodies we're in now have been corrupted by sin and the effects of the fall. And in order to enter into the eternal kingdom properly clothed, these bodies have to be exchanged for new, sinless, glorified bodies. That's what Paul's talking about in verse 51. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." What's the last trumpet? Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it's the trumpet of God, which will announce the return of Christ. The trump will sound, verse 52 says. The dead will be raised imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. You see, that's our hope, friends. That's the glorious hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sin doesn't win. Sin loses. Death doesn't win. Death loses. And then in verse 54, when the perishable, that's what these dying bodies are that we now inhabit. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" It's gone, defeated, vanquished, utterly destroyed by Jesus' death and resurrection. And when Jesus comes at the end of days and that divine trumpet blasts his victory sign, 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "We will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord." That's when he will fulfill his promise in John 14 to come and meet us and take us to our new eternal home to be with him forever. So brothers and sisters, we're not afraid to die. Not if we believe that Jesus is coming back for us. Not if we believe that a new, sinless, glorified body is awaiting us at Christ's return. Not if we know that Jesus has already defeated sin and death. Not if we are certain that this is not our home, that we're just aliens and strangers passing through on our way to the eternal kingdom of God. We're not afraid of death. That's the good news. That's the eternal hope that we have to hold out to all of those around us right now who are afraid and who are saying, "Why aren't you afraid? What's wrong with you?" Well, let me tell you. What do you guys think about that, David or Brad? How do you respond to that glorious hope that we have? Any thoughts?
Yeah, that hope is not something that this world understands, just as we've been talking about in Philippians, how a peace that passes understanding, this world, a peace that the people around us don't understand, that hope that we have is not. We talked about it last week. We talked about it again this week. Just not in government, not in finances, not in the stock market, not in health, not in medicine. None of that stuff. Our hope is in the Lord. It's such a great place to have our hope. There's no better place.
And going along with what Dave said about, you know, the peace, the Holy Spirit gives us the peace of God, which transcends on all understanding. The Holy Spirit also gives us power for living right now. And he also gives us the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. I may have missed one or two there. But the point is that God has the best possible life for us right now, wherever we are, and he has a plan. But also, the thing that encourages us is the hope that Kurt had said in 1 John 5, 11 through 13, it says, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The verse doesn't say so that you may hope that you'll have eternal life, or that you may wish that you have eternal life, or that you may work toward getting eternal life. It says that you may know, knowing something with 100% confidence. And that is the hope that we have right now. Even the beginning of the passage, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And the promise is there, and that's what we need to cling to.
Hebrews 11:6 is another one of those passages I've been clinging to through for many years now, and it speaks directly to what you were just saying there, Brett. Now, faith is being assured of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, right? So you're right. It's not a blind hope. It's not just the hope that something might happen. It's an absolutely, positively assured hope that we have in Jesus. Listen, LAC family, it's just been such a joy for Brett and David and I to be with you this morning and in spirit, since we're not with you in person. We've been told by our authorities that this stay-at-home order will be in effect at least until April 6th, which is a week from Monday. And so at this point, we're not planning to hold a Palm Sunday service next Sunday, at least here in the building. But as we've done today and as we did last week, we would encourage you to gather in the comfort of your homes, around your computers or your iPhones. And next Sunday, Jack Harris is going to be bringing us a Palm Sunday message, and I'm excited to hear Jack preach. It's going to be a real treat. And so we'll start at the usual time, about 10:45, next Sunday morning. I'd also like to encourage you to invite others to listen to these podcasts. I hope that these have been uplifting, and you may know somebody, a friend or a neighbor, who just needs to hear some encouragement. If you just send them to the website, these are going to be posted on our website. And then also, I just want to remind you again that even though we're not meeting in person here right now, the church is still paying its bills. We're still paying rent. We're still paying electricity and water. And we're still depending on the gifts and the tithes of our church family, of those who call LAC home. The best way to do that right now is just to mail in a check to the church, and we'll make sure that business aspect continues on as usual. Finally, the body of Christ can choose to respond in a couple of different ways. We can choose right now to pull back, to turn in, or we can choose to turn out, to reach up to the Lord, to reach out to each other, and to move the kingdom forward. And so my admonition is, let's continue. Let's take these opportunities that God provides for her church, for his church during this time, to advance his kingdom and to serve others in the powerful name of Jesus. And as you do that, as you see evidences of God's grace at work in your life and those who you're ministering to, church family, would you all share these stories with us? As you talk to David or Brett or myself, tell us what's going on. Tell us the evidences that you see of God's grace in your life so that we can all rejoice and so that we can all bring glory to God and encourage each other. I'll give you guys a final opportunity to share anything else that's on your heart here, and then we'll close with prayer.
Yeah, it's just nice to be worshiping with you, even though it's not in person. If anyone has a need financially, food-wise, you know, many people are struggling because they're out of a job. Sometimes the needs can't get met unless we know. So if there's something going on that you need medicine, food, you know, financial help, you know, our church is here to support that as well. So, and the church is the people. And so anything that we need, we can go together and work on that as well. And, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to be facing us, but we know that we can help each other in our time of need as well. And so just thank God that we can, you know, worship with you, and just we'll be praying for you as we continue to do this as well.
And I just wanted to say thank you. I know I've been contacted by a lot of people saying that they are praying for us, praying for the church. It's so cool to be a part of that. Thank you for your prayers. They are greatly appreciated. Please continue to do so. As things change throughout these days, throughout these weeks, it is just so, so great to know that we can go to our God, who knows about them already, but it's just such a peace that we can go to Him and share our concerns. But thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concerns. Thank you for your support. And please continue them. They are very much appreciated.
Dave, would you close us with a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, you are alone worthy of honor. You are worthy of glory and worthy of praise. With you, we can overcome every storm, everything that life throws at us, everything that happens in this life, including COVID-19. Lord, right now we're asking you to do a couple things. We're asking you to heal those people who are sick and protect those who are not. Lord, we are asking you to give our leaders extra wisdom as they navigate this pandemic and economic uncertainty. We ask you to strengthen your global church. Reveal to us how we can partner together to reach the needs of those around us. Calm our fears. Fill us with your hope, with your joy, and with your peace as we continue to trust in you. And use this pandemic to pave the way for spiritual renewal in all those around us. We want your glory, your power, and your healing to be on display. We just thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.